We're coming up on the summer solstice, and when it's summer in Seattle and it stays light till past 10 at night, you just want to be up and about outside. Sleep does not seem as important as does maximizing your playtime. But University of Washington neurologist Nathaniel Watson begs to differ. He spent a whole year going through thousands of scientific studies on sleep, and he found that, in fact, sleep should always be our first priority, no matter what the season. Nathaniel Watson joins me now. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Sleepy. What did you discover about how much sleep we actually need?
Well, so this was a consensus conference project by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and Sleep Research Society. And what we did was gather 15 experts in sleep medicine and sleep research to really scour the medical literature to assess, you know, anything that looked at the relationship between how long a person sleeps and health-related outcomes. And what we found was that our general recommendation was that adults should get 7 or more hours of sleep per night in order to promote optimal health. And we also really found that 6 hours or less was really associated with a lot of bad health outcomes, such as hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, depression, impaired mood, increased risk for motor vehicle accidents. So, you know, we're recommending 7 or more, so 7's the lower end of the cutoff, and really 6 or less is going to cause problems.
I'm talking to Dr. Nathaniel Watson, co-director of the University of Washington Sleep Disorders Center. So 7 is the bottom threshold, is what you're telling me?
Correct. And our recommendation is a little bit unique in the sense that we don't have an upper level cutoff. And so, you know, we know that there is some literature out there suggesting longer sleep may also not be healthy for you. But quite honestly, when we looked at this carefully, we had a consensus that we were uncertain that longer sleep was bad for you, or was whether it was bad for you or not was really uncertain. And so we decided, with the fact that, you know, people that are sleep deprived often might need to catch up on their sleep, or people that are ill might need to catch up on their sleep, that longer sleep in many circumstances is probably not problematic, and that it's really okay. So we wanted people to focus on getting, you know, 7 or more hours and not worry if they were sleeping longer than 9 hours, for instance.
Well, there are times when people have less control over how much sleep they get, and I'm thinking specifically of new parents who can suffer sleep deprivation, you know, forever, but certainly for the first few years that their children are alive. So how do specific concentrated periods of sleep deprivation affect our overall health?
Well, you know, it's going to affect your judgment. It's going to affect your ability to think clearly and decision making and those types of things. It's clearly going to put you at increased risk for motor vehicle accidents if you're driving in that sleep deprived state. And so, you know, we understand that, you know, life, you can't always control exactly when you sleep or how much you sleep, but really, we just want to have a conversation with the general public about the importance of sleep in their life and have them consider it to be really a tool in order for them to optimize their health and performance, and really think of sleep the same way they do as exercise or a proper diet, as things that are necessary to really achieve everything that they're capable of in life.
Did I hear you correctly that, say, I have a period, maybe it's not 5 years, but maybe a few days where I don't get enough sleep, can I undo the negative effects by sleeping longer? Or maybe, you know, when my kid grows from babyhood to teenagerhood?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess, if there is a good thing about developing a sleep debt is that, you know, it doesn't build up to the point that you could never pay it off. You know, what we find is that if a person, you know, prioritizes their sleep and really sleep saturates themselves over a 2 to 3 week period of time, that generally speaking, that would be enough to resolve any sleep debt that they might have.
So I am, and I'm sure there are other people, somebody who wakes up as soon as it gets light out, and then I have a hard time going to sleep in the summer months when it's light forever. So what should we here in the Northwest do?
Yeah, I mean, there is some seasonal variation in sleep duration, so we understand that. You know, what you have to do is try to, you know, optimize your sleep environment. And in this instance, it would include things like blackout shades and maybe white noise machines in order to drown out sounds like the birds chirping in the morning.
That there's that as well. So you spent a year with your colleagues combing through these studies. How did you change your own behavior when you were done?
Well, you know, they say that you should do what you love, and I love to sleep, so I didn't have a problem going in.
Did what you learned change the way you think about sleep as a part of overall health?
It really did. You know, I think that it just drove home the fact that short sleep is bad for you, and particularly 6 hours or less on a regular basis. You know, time and time and time again in multiple health-related domains, we found clear-cut evidence that, you know, that level of sleep deprivation is going to be bad for your health long-term.
And I'm already feeling sick as it is. Dr. Nathaniel Watson, co-director of the University of Washington Sleep Disorders Center, have a beautiful evening tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.